Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with me in studio today to tell us about the making of the Undertones self-titled album.
Well, I picked this album, I suppose, for many, many, many reasons, but I chose the song to try and have a direct influence on what's happening with the weather at the moment, and hopefully this might herald something. We had a lovely day the other day. Do you know what Morgan Freeman said in The Shawshank Redemption? It's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
But this is a real, you know, it's a summer banger, and it's just fabulous.
I don't know much about the Undertones.
Ah, Andrea. New York punk had the hair.
I know that song, and I know maybe one or two others, but tell me about them.
Yeah, so what I want to say is New York punk had the hair, London punk had the trousers, and Northern Irish punk had the reason.
Okay.
So we're into the era of punk, but Northern Ireland is a troubled place.
What year is this?
We're going all the way back now. They form in 1974.
Okay.
And the album will take a few years to come out. We're at the end of the 70s here. But they don't really fit the punk rock vision. Mm. See, as I said, this punk was very, very much involved with the idea of style. And as I said, New York punk with this fabulous big hair, the New York Dolls and the Stooges and people like that. And then the London punk was all the check trousers and, Sex Pistols and things like that. Whereas these lads were from Northern Ireland. They wore parkas and jeans. They didn't look particularly cool. But sometimes when we talk about music, it's about how it represents a feeling at the time. And as we know, Northern Ireland was steeped in violence and division. And along come these lads from Derry with their bubblegum punk music. Because one of the interesting things about it, we do get angry political punk music from Northern Ireland. These guys are singing about teenage angst. They're singing about the summer. They're singing about falling in love and falling out again. They're actually overtly non-political. And yet, they somehow seem to capture the feeling of youth at that time.
Who's in the band?
So, there was initially a couple of brothers, John O'Neill, his brother Vincent. Vincent would be replaced, and I don't know how this went down, by his other brother, Damien. And on lead vocals, we had a chap called Fergal Sharkey. And Fergal's an amazing character. He's still knocking around. He doesn't perform as much anymore. He's actually an eco-warrior these days, trying to save the rivers of England from chalk flows. Just a little side there. But the Undertones had a short run. They broke up in 1983 and they did come back 1999. There it is, Male Model. And this is one of those songs with the punk tongue firmly planted in the cheek, because they know they're not male models and they're wearing secondhand clothes and they desperately want to be the cool kid on the block, but they're not ever going to quite get there.
I'm trying to picture the political landscape at the time and trying to get Male Model probably played by BBC Radio Ulster, or, you know, like, how successful were they?
Initially, they came up against brick walls. And this is the moment where I'm going to introduce you to a man called Terry Hooley. And we frequently talk about people who are national treasures. Terry was a guy from Belfast who completely tried to sidestep all of the politics. And not that he wasn't aware of it, but he was like, music can bring people together.
Mm.
And he starts his own record shop in Belfast. It was called Good Vibrations. Now, Good Vibrations, also the name of a film, which is a biopic about Terry Hooley. He's still knocking around. He's had health problems. I've had the joy of corresponding with him a little bit. But he is a central figure in all of this, because he discovers the Undertones. I don't mean he's like looked under a rock and there they were, but he heard their track, which we will close with today, Teenage Kicks, and he believed in them. And he took it to London and he got doors slammed in his face and all over the shop. It was a very important DJ called John Peel. Rest His Beautiful Soul. He died a good few years ago. But John Peel heard the song and he played it on his radio show. Now, if you got played on John Peel's radio show,
that was huge. Yeah.
Do you know what he did immediately after he played Teenage Kicks?
Go on.
He played it again.
Again.
Twice in a row.
If that's not an endorsement.
He'd never done it before, but that really launched them. Needless to say, that one is called Jimmy Jimmy. And a few weeks ago, we covered a band called Queen. We talked about the song Bohemian Rhapsody, where he described that in the DJ trade as a toilet song. The Undertones have no toilet songs. They are almost nearly all shorter than 2 minutes.
Wow.
They're just quick invasions of music. And this was very common in the punk genre. A famous band from New York, or the Ramones, when they started playing live, they had 6 live tracks and they used to do their set in 15 minutes.
Be a short concert.
It's a very short concert. So they actually usually, the nightclub owner would say, yeah, you're going to have to keep playing. So they just do the same thing again.
Again.
So these songs, I'll stand corrected here, I'm sure, but there's very few punk songs that are epic 8 minute huge, long in length, but these songs are very much designed about feeling and about how a young person at that moment in their life, it just grabs you by your check shirt and your Doc Martens and your parka, and it makes you bop.
How many albums did they release in total?
They released 4 albums in total. Okay. And as I said, they struggled in terms of keeping themselves together. And by 1983, Fergal Sharkey had had enough. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know how acrimonious it was, but Fergal Sharkey, he wasn't the man who was writing these songs. That was John O'Neill for the most part. He's the main kind of creative force, and still is in the band, because I said they did reform in 1999 and they're still going.
And how successful since then are they?
Oh, they tour incessantly.
Right.
I mean, if I was to mention, you know, in terms of who people ask for in the Irish Rock and Roll Museum, you get your U2s and your Thin Lizzies, of course, but there's a hardcore of old punk fans out there who love this music. And it's so honest, it's so sincere. I'm going to give a special mention as well to another band we might cover in the future, Stiff Little Fingers, who are more political and have songs like Alternative Ulster and Suspect Device and things like that, which need no explanation. But these guys kind of perfectly captured the youth culture at the time. And Fergal would go on. He had a huge hit in 1985 with A Good Heart, but it never really kicked on from there. And he didn't rejoin the band when he was asked. She's not just a girl. I think that she knows how I feel. I know a girl. There he is. I know a girl. Have you ever, Andrea, here's a question for you. Have you ever pogo punked?
What?
Exactly. This is described as being an almost perfect pogo punk song.
What's that?
So it's relating to how you might dance. Now, have you ever got on a pogo stick?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or unsuccessfully.
Okay, yeah.
So punk dancing does not require much in the way
skill.
Of skill. It does require energy.
Yeah.
And one of the most popular forms
of
punk dancing is quite literally keeping your legs together as close as you can and jumping straight up in the air and back down again.
Where do they rank among most Ireland's greatest artists?
They are the most successful band to ever come out of Derry. So we'll give them that. In terms of album sales, you know, we're talking more about hundreds of thousands than millions and millions and millions. Mm. But, you know, sometimes when we talk about, like, we cover albums that sell 20 million copies, mm-hmm. and they might not have had the same kind of, sorry, what you might say, cultural or social impact as an album that sold 10 times less than that. This, for me, as I said, this moment in Irish music is so important, because in Northern Ireland was experiencing something very different
from
what we were experiencing in the South, and economically probably pretty similar, but the whole political situation. And I think the idea that, that music tried to bring people together. I mean, we're talking about Catholics and Protestants pogoing together here. And although what Terry would say in terms of that he had too many sectarian problems and there was too many detractors and haters, this was a movement that tried to bring people together when not everyone else was doing that. And I don't think that from a political or cultural point of view, you can discount the role of punk music at that moment in youth culture.
It was something we haven't talked much about actually here on the making of a lot of the punk artists. We're leaving listeners with Teenage Kicks. That has to be their best known, is it?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, this one did sell in huge numbers. It's triple platinum single. As I said, John Peel actually requested, I don't know if this actually happened, but he requested when he died that some of the lyrics be placed on his tombstone.
Wow.
He loved it that much. You know, John Peel played a huge role in so many artists and getting them out there, including Thin Lizzy, another great Irish band. But for me, this is the perfect 2 minutes of radio right now. It's fun, it's high energy, it'll make you smile, it'll make you dance, and it's, you know, it's simple in its construction. It's three-chord punk. And it's just perfect.
I presume they were a huge influence to other punk artists, were they?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, the Undertones, Stiff Little Fingers, another band called Rudy. You know, if we're looking at people who influenced, these are the names that jump out. As I said, you have your New York, you have your London, Belfast and Northern Irish punk and Derry. Hugely influential.
Well, we're going to leave you with Teenage Kicks from the Undertones self-titled album. As always, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million for joining us on The Making Of on Lunchtime Live.
Pogo, pogo.
So good. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. I'm gonna call her on the telephone. Have her over cause I'm all alone. I need excitement, oh I need it bad. And it's the best I've ever had. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.